We're looking at the social network, reclaiming social media. Now, I've given you all handout sheets. You guys on the floor need one. I'm afraid you've got to either perch on someone's knee.
Alright.
Maybe not. Or sit on the floor.
There you go.
You can either hand out one. Wow, look at this. Come on in. Beanbags. Yes, pass down the beanbags. Let's be cool. These guys will have the beanbag thrown at them. Quite literally. as these guys are getting covers, people are still arriving. Let me just say, the handout, there's a little space for notes, but I'm guessing you guys have brought pads anyway. This is more for you to take away, okay? Information to digest. I'll refer to a bit of it, but there's lots of information on there and it's for you to take away. Now, who here is familiar with social media? Okay, the social media savvy. You're on Facebook every hour, every minute. Twitter, yeah, know that. Foursquare, know what that is. Who's social media savvy? A couple of people. It's fine. It's okay. It's a good thing. A few people. Who here is kind of, you're aware of social media and you kind of dabble in it, but you wouldn't call yourself an expert? It's the majority of people. Who here are social media newbies? Never used it. Great, fine. Good. Well, the problem with a workshop like this is that you guys have probably come with all different expectations. And so what I'd just like to find out is, what are your expectations? What would you like to get out of this workshop? No, I know you're writing to me. Yeah, it is. I know what your writing's like. By the way, do make a note of my website, because if you haven't got a handout and you want some of this stuff, I'll post all the stuff on my website and you can download it. Can you just shout out, what would you like to get out of this workshop? What do you want to know? What do you want to engage with? What do you want to discuss? Do you want me to just talk at you, or do you want to engage?
Sorry, this is a really boring one, but I slightly want to know what's legal.
What's legal?
You know, like, can we get into trouble?
Okay, murder? No. What's legal? Okay. Yes?
How we should actually use social media productively for...
I've just recognised who you are.
You got me.
Sorry, I know this guy. Little reunion. Sorry, what did you say?
No idea. My mind was going...
How can you actually use social media to further the gospel?
How can you use it?
I don't think we should... We can't ignore it.
Okay, how do we use it?
Understand a bit better how it fits together.
How it fits together.
How you
keep
kids safe.
Okay.
The tools and the traps.
Good alliteration. I like that. Tools and traps. Anything else?
How I can use it for communication with the group.
How can you? That kind of comes into how we can use it. How can we use it for communication? Anything else?
I'd like to understand a bit more about why it's so important. There seems to be kind of on one side an understanding of the value of it, but then it's all encompassing for certain age groups. Mm.
Okay.
Why it's important.
See, I told you she had a good ride. Far better than mine. That's because your pregnancy gets in the way. Yes.
How to monitor it and make sure things don't get out of hand.
How to make sure things don't get out of hand. Okay.
Yes, I also like this. Probably fits in other things, but what are young people using today, and how are they using it?
Okay, so what's popular? Don't ask so much, you lot, do you? anything else? Last one or two, because if you really think of something, let me know, because I really want to be able to hit most of these things. Yeah.
Is there a balance to be struck between trying to engage kids and looking a bit keen?
I can answer that one now. Yes. Yeah, like if you're not a tech person, don't try and pretend. But you know, great. When are we here till? Okay. Before we get cracking, then I need somebody who isn't social media savvy to be a volunteer. I have this. And this is, if I say something and you go, I have no idea what you've just said, you ring the bell. Because the chances are everyone else is thinking it too. You're being nominated, are you? Yeah? So if I say something and you go, what? Then ring the bell and I'll explain it. Because the danger is we plow on and I assume you guys know what is and you don't. And you're sitting there going, oh, I don't understand. Okay, let's find out how much you do know. Right, this laptop has been really slow. Okay, the aim of what we're going to do is to share thoughts and ideas on how we can use social media to enhance or support our youth and children's ministries. Okay, that's the aim of what we're doing. So, we're going to have... Oh, come on, wake up. We're going to have a bit of a quiz, just to see how much you know. So, here we go. Here's the first question. You ready? Yeah? How many social network sites are listed on Wikipedia's list of major social networks? About 50? Who thinks about 50? Put your hands up. Who thinks about 100? Who thinks about 200?
The answer is
200 of major social networks. Okay, there are minor social networks. How many? I don't know. And which of these? Which of these isn't a social networking site? Okay, 43 things. Moco Space, Nasa Klaza, Delicious Vampire Friends. Who thinks it's A, 43 things? Who thinks that isn't a social networking site? Okay, who thinks it's B, Moco Space? Who thinks it's, okay, yep. Who thinks it's C, Nasa Klaza? Okay, who thinks it's D, Delicious? Okay, who thinks it's E, Vampire Freaks? The answer is D, because it's a social bookmarking site. Okay, the difference is social networking is about relationships and connecting. Social bookmarking is literally saying, this is cool. That's about it. Okay, here we go, next question. How many people regularly use Facebook on at least a monthly basis? Okay, how many people regularly access Facebook on at least a monthly basis? Is it about 100 million? Who thinks that? Okay, who thinks it's 250 million? Okay, who thinks it's 700 million? Who thinks it's 1 billion? The answer is about 1 billion. Okay, 901 million as of April this year. Okay, can you list? Hello.
My question is, why? why do people... What? I don't get it.
Okay. The reason why people access Facebook so regularly is because there's a... This is my take on it. There is a hunger for relationship. There is a hunger for knowing your place and engaging with people. And we know that that's true because God is one God, three persons. There is an eternal, perfect relationship in the Trinity. We're made in God's image, and so we desire that. We long for it. Okay. That's great. I'm glad. Can you list the top three social network sites by active user accounts? What do you think number one is?
Facebook.
What do you think number two is?
Twitter.
What do you think number three is?
MySpace.
Number one, Facebook. Number two, Skype. See, you haven't thought of that. Whereas Skype is hooked into Facebook now, so it's very popular. Third, Qzone. Chinese social network site. Okay, you just think of the number of people in China and you kind of understand why it's a problem. And Twitter is actually fourth. Okay? Last question. Are you going to love this one? What is Mark Zuckerberg's, he's the co-founder of Facebook, what's his expected salary for 2013? Is it A, $1? Who thinks it's that? A couple of people. B, who thinks it's $1,000? Who thinks it's $1 million? Who thinks it's $1 billion? Some of you didn't put your hands up. There's no sitting on the fence. Are you guys accountants? Because you're dead right. It's $1 for tax purposes. I don't know how that works. How can you get... Oh, seriously. Okay, that was just a bit of fun, just introducing social media, getting ourselves going. Now, what would be most helpful? Ploughing through some of those questions, because basically my brief was not to do a talk and get you guys talking together, okay? But I want to be as useful and as effective to you guys as I can. And what would be useful? Ploughing through those or getting together and ploughing through some of these things? What would be most useful? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get you talking a little bit because people are listening on the little recording device and I want to be doing my brief. So what I want you to do is just turn... just turn in kind of small groups and just think about some dangers of... some dangers of social networking, social media. Okay, what are some of the dangers of social media? That thing will catch up. So in your room, yeah, exactly, technology not working. Ugh. Don't give them away. Right, dangers, go. You've got a couple of minutes.
If boys, more than girls, because more boys are both, they will actually use this stuff more than actually proper face stuff. Because, so I was with a bunch of teams back in August, and I hadn't grasped how attached they are to their phones the whole time. We had 2 hours where it was phones away and we did something else.
And a couple of more minutes.
They were sprinting, girls were sprinting uphill to get back to their rooms to get their phones, and they had been away for 2 hours. And that really showed me how plugged in they are to phones, texts, Facebook. They are, it's crazy. And that is at the cost of actual proper one-to-one face-to-face stuff. Scared me no end, it really did. Horrifying. So I think certainly kind of my angle, that's a big danger. Everything is done online through the net, not through actual proper one-to-one face-to-face.
Okay, what are some of the dangers? Let me just say, what we'll do is, if you hear, what I want you to do is tell me something that somebody else has said, okay? Because often I find that's actually more helpful because they distill it down and they kind of sum it up better than I've said it whenever I'm talking to a group. So if you've heard somebody say something really, really helpful, Shout it out. What are some of the dangers?
Getting distracted from work.
Getting distracted from work. Who can testify to that? Not at all. No. Yeah, getting distracted from work. It can be a distraction. What else?
Cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying. Do people know what that is? Cyberbullying, it's online bullying, basically. Yep.
Permanence of what you put there. It never goes away.
Yes. Online activity is global, instant, and permanent communication. Okay? Global, instant, permanent communication. And we forget it. Our young people are sometimes oblivious to it. Like, I'll say to them, why did you put that thing on that person's Facebook page? And they're like, you saw that? Like,
yes.
Yes, the whole world did. And they just like, what else? Some of the other dangers?
Inappropriate relationships.
Explain on that a bit.
Well, I suppose particularly between leaders and members of the groups. They see things about you that you wouldn't necessarily share with them otherwise, and likewise the same.
So it's more, let me just slightly tweak that it's, the danger is that there is unled, uncontrolled, unmentored, unmonitored access to people's lives. And so, for example, you might put something on there and regret it and kind of, you know, take it off or whatever, but they don't know what you're thinking and you... There's no kind of dialogue going on there. I mean, I would the good thing is that a lot of the main social network, social media sites have controls to enable you to do to kind of so appropriate relationships can be maintained. But the key is that people know how to use those controls, and they're often very quickly changing, which means you either need to keep on top of things, or cut back what you do. Either's fine, I think. Make use of the controls, use it wisely, or just cut back what you do. Don't put up every photo. Don't put up every... Yeah.
But it's not just how we use it, it's how the teenagers, the children, our children are using it.
Sure.
Because it's not cool to put controls on.
For yeah.
My daughter, it's not cool not to allow people to be friends.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I think you've hit on probably the biggest struggle, but also the biggest area that we can influence in terms of social media and social networking, which is how families, parents and teenagers use social media together. Okay? And the chances are that our teenagers will not want their parents involved in their online social media activity. But we should be. We should be. And we should be encouraging our parents in our churches to get involved. And we should be encouraging them and equipping them how to use social media. I'll come on to this in a bit, but yeah, thank you. Other dangers, yes? Exactly, and also with the best will in the world, you can spend ages composing something, write it, and it still gets misunderstood. Yeah, exactly. And let's go here, there, and then wherever. Over.
It's very easy for people to present themselves as something they're not online.
Yep, and so there's a big danger in terms of predators who can present themselves and create a completely fictional character and person and can be someone completely different. Who hasn't thought long and hard about their profile picture? Okay, you kind of go, I'm not going to put that photo up because I look like an idiot. I'm going to put this one because I look like a superhero. Because we want to present ourselves well, but sometimes that can go too far and we can present ourselves someone we're not. Yeah.
How fast technology is moving. So as putting controls on as a youth leader or a parent, I could do that on a computer, but now it's on
their phones.
Handheld device.
Exactly. Exactly. Which leads me on. I think one of the best things that we can do as churches is establish people whose responsibility, who are tasked with keeping up with these things. And providing regular training just in social media, because it changes so quickly, and you might want to expand it to technology. But just because it changes so quickly, and the older we get, the longer it takes for us to work out these changes. I mean, I'm pretty tech savvy, and even now I'm kind of going, oh, seriously, you've changed it again? I can't be asking about it. I don't want to work it out again. I'm just happy with it. And I'm 34. So, you know, goodness knows what I'm going to do that when I'm 50.
Just removing people from relationships, so it comes down to how many friends you have, and those friends are reduced to 140 characters. Yeah, I keep in contact with 350 friends.
Yeah.
There's no relationship.
So it's a lack of awareness of what kind of relationship it is, that actually it's very superficial. It can be very superficial. It can be quite meaningless, but mistakenly assumed to be something meaningful because you have 7 billion friends on Facebook and you don't know who any of them are. Last one.
Living out of your inbox.
Living out of your inbox, so spending so much time online that you don't actually live in the real world. Yeah, that can be a danger. What about strength? Here's my thoughts for what it's worth. I just highlighted two. So not addressing the way that sin and or grace can operate within social media sites. So I'll put negative and positive on that. Let's be honest, we're sinners. The people using these things are sinners. Somebody said once, the problem with the internet is that it was designed thinking that everyone is good. And that is so true. And it's the same for social media. It's designed that people are going to love each other and care for each other and network. And then along comes people and sin comes in and people post stuff they shouldn't, and they post porn on children's sites and stupid stuff like that. So sin affects social media, and one of the dangers is we don't realise that and we don't equip people to deal with that. But the flip side is that we can therefore shut ourselves off from social media and not actually realise that it can be used as a great tool for grace. My wife, she spends a lot of time on Facebook, and one of the reasons she does is that she's she has loads of people that she's hooked up with who had children the same time as hers, okay, as ours. And there's these people all around the countryside that are like best, and I know who they are. Hello.
Accident.
Oh. What are their names? And she has helped people struggle with miscarriages. She has told people the gospel. She has established really good relationships with people that she's never met face to face. It's all online, and she uses it as a great means of grace. So we mustn't, this is, comes down to the general principle of how do we engage with culture, which is we mustn't receive it wholeheartedly without asking any questions, okay? That's wrong. So we mustn't just go, yes, social media, yes, use it to its full, don't worry about it, everything's great, you're going to have a blast. We mustn't do that. But equally, we mustn't reject it. We mustn't just say, well, social media gets used for bad things, cyberbullying and all that, so we won't do anything with it. We mustn't do that either. We must redeem it. We say, okay, we'll deal with sin in this way. We will use it for grace in this way. And we, above all, we pray that God will be honoured in what we do. So, strength then. Oh, last one. Not having a thought-through approach, especially about how and why. Many churches, people did this with websites, they're still doing it with websites. Let's have a website, great, yeah! They have a website, but they don't think through, well, why? What are you hoping to achieve? Let's have a Twitter account for our church. Why? What are you going to do with it? What's going to happen? How are you going to use it? So people don't think through the hows and the whys. Strengths then, in your groups. Still on the ground with your notes. Not considering effort involved versus gospel gain. Social networking can take a long time to get your head around it, use it effectively, and sometimes we can plough straight in and spend hours on this thing when actually the number of people that are going to actually be effective for the gospel is fairly few. And actually we would be better used putting our efforts elsewhere. Now, I know there's no more because I've run out of room. So strengths in your groups. Go. Strengths. Opportunities for social media.
Keep yourself
How can we use it for good?
How can we use it for good?
Some of the things with the teams at my church, it's kids who don't see actually the church that often have a fairly kind of free day. It's one of the ways can we use to actually keep them up to speed with events planned, what's going on. Trying to keep them involved in some way. Because yeah, there are some who we see once twice a term, and it's actually only because they heard of or seen that there's this thing happening that they have to come along. If I hadn't, then we would never see that. So that's one way. Any kind of online, virtual kind of because all of us guys will also try and just each week actually either text or in somehow could be in touch with everyone so everyone knows what's happening that Friday. Generally not. Certainly, I think, for us guys, it is mainly a way of just trying to keep in touch, inform.
Anyone else I know that I didn't know? Okay, what are some of the opportunities then? By the way, I'm a little bit kind of, I can't sit down still, that's because I know how much there is to get through. What are some of the opportunities then?
You said about relationship, that is really, really key, and I think also it brings in a lot of accountability, especially like as maybe you play with something and you've got, some of the teenagers and they put things on. You think, I want to challenge that, or, definitely through grace, it's got to be working for this, but in other ways that you wouldn't necessarily have that opportunity, and you can pray, and you can challenge.
Exactly, yes. So social media gives us an access and an awareness of people's lives that to a degree that we just haven't had before. So I know what my kids in my youth group are up to, if I wanted to, 24/7. Because they post everything online and they don't think. And so it gives us opportunity to challenge. My personal approach is I don't challenge everything, but I look for that key thing that sums up things, and I always challenge face to face. I never do it online, because my relationship with them is primarily face to face. Now obviously the example with my wife, she has challenged some of the people with regards to how they're conducting their lives, somebody challenging another person, so they're not Christians, so she doesn't kind of plan in with the gospel, with the Bible verse or anything like that. But she does challenge people. But the context is that their relationship is an online relationship, and so that's fine because that's how it has been established and that's how it's grown, and they kind of get each other. But because we are working face to face with these guys, I would always encourage you to challenge and encourage, must be encouraged. And I saw what you put on Facebook to your friend, like asking if you could pray for them. I thought that was brilliant. Encourage and challenge face to face, because we have primarily face to face relationships with these guys.
And also, because you have to be careful how you say it, or how often you say it, because they could just delete you as a friend anyway.
So well, exactly. And don't value being their friend on Facebook above being their youth leader, youth worker who challenges them. If they do, if they take your friends, like some of my youth group haven't even got me as a friend on there. They've never had me as a friend. Fine. If that's what you want to be, fine. and that we've challenged people and they've just deleted us. I'll say this personally. My cousin, I love him very dearly. He's going through some issues, and I've challenged him, and he's deleted me. Family member. I love him as a Christian brother. I pray for him regularly. But I just prayed about it, thought about it, and just had to challenge him. I pray I did it lovingly. And he just deleted me.
But at least it gave you an opportunity to pray
for them. Exactly. And I didn't see anyone else challenging him. Any other strengths, opportunities? Yes. Yeah, and there are some good Christian tools for this. Some churches have got into a thing called The City, which is a kind of church version of Facebook, and they have prayer groups. It costs a bit though for churches to sign up to that, but your church might have.
Can I quickly explain that? Well, when I was there with the rabbis in London, I became so troubled, and then opened up the BlackBerry page,
right,
with 30 parents on it, where we come together every Monday at 9 p.m. for 40 minutes to pray for London. And it didn't
work. So that's your testimony of that, yeah, exactly. So we can use it to connect people and pray for each other and share prayer requests. Me and my wife have got this. We've got a closed group that we invite people to, and we post prayer requests, and we just whack it up there straight away, and it instantly gets spread out. I mean, I think prayer letters, if I'm honest, slight thing of the past, maybe. You might disagree, that's fine. But the prayer gets dished out to all these people around the world, and they you know, post back and just say, "Yeah, pray for you." And it's so encouraging, you know. So that's a great way of using it. Yep.
Similarly on that, keeping in touch with people that move away. So if you could go to university or English move away generally, then good way of keeping in contact with them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I hope you've got this slight mentality. Me and my wife have this mentality that nobody ever leaves our youth group. Okay, they might get older, they might move away, but they're always part of our youth group. Now that's a nightmare because there's so many people to keep track of, and you can't keep track of everyone. But we do look out for them on Facebook, and if we see somebody who's particularly struggling, we'll send them a message to let them know. Or if somebody's been really encouraging, we'll send them a post just to let them know. And so Facebook is a great way of doing that. Make use of things like lists on Facebook, groups on Facebook, lists on Twitter. It just helps you keep sane of all these things. Okay, so on Facebook, you can create friendship lists. And it means that if you're particularly feeling in a catch-up with youth group members mood, you click on the list and you've got all the status updates of your youth group. So it's just a helpful way of keeping up with things. Same for Twitter. And most social media stuff has ways of organising this. That's a helpful thing. Anything else? Yeah, so for a church to have an online presence, I must admit, I don't know what I think of purely online churches. I can see benefits, but I can see dangers. I don't know what I think, so I'm not going to say it either way. But for an online presence of a church is a great way for people to engage with straight away and find out, which is why it's helpful to have things like photos and pictures. And I would encourage churches to, it doesn't take long, just make a simple 2-minute video that tells what your church is about with a couple of clips of a church service, because and put that on straight on the front page of your website, on your Facebook page, so that people can just, bam, 2 minutes, they've got what your church is about. Dead easy way of making use of social media. And your church members, your youth group members, can spread it around. They can make use of it. They can retweet it. They can post it here and what have you. Here are my top 10. So greater opportunities for communication, interaction and influence. Okay, so there's greater opportunities to spread the good news of Jesus, to post messages, to post content and get it out there. There's greater opportunities for relationships, for interactions with people, and there's greater opportunities for influence in the people that we're serving and with our own friendship groups. There's a unique opportunity for instant and effective witness, discipleship and care. Okay, as I said, my wife Kirsten, she's speaking God's word into the lives of people that she's never met and never would have met. And I don't know how many people they have in contact who are Christians. Kirsten might be the only one. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's a great thing to make use of. There are just as many opportunities for using social media with our work with parents. I would say, actually, it's more important that you work out how to use social media with your parents than your youth group members. Let me give you an example of this. There's a family in my church, the son will only turn up at a youth group thing if I've posted about it on Twitter, because that's where a mum goes to find out what's going on. So if she sees this youth group tonight on Twitter, she's like, oh, I must take my son off it. Crazy. But there you go, that's modern day life, I guess. Opportunities for using social media with our parents. You can notify them about things, train them how to use it. I'll come on to this, as I said, in a second. Great. Let me just refer you to your handouts and your sheets. In the middle, you've got a bit of an infographic, okay? It's very detailed. But the idea is split into three sections. The first breaks down the types of social media. Okay, so if you're wondering what types of social media that are out there, how does Twitter relate to Facebook, that kind of starts to put it into categories for you. Does anyone need any of those terms explaining? Ask me any questions afterwards if you do. Then there's The functionality of social media, okay? I'm guessing that you guys aren't quite aware, judging by who put their hands up at the beginning, that there was quite this level of functionality, that you can do quite so much on social media. So you've got all different aspects of it, and how, kind of starting to help you get your heads around how the various social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, does people know what Foursquare is? Foursquare is just a location sharing platform. So literally, All Souls Church will be a location on Foursquare, and you set your phone up so that when you walk in the building, it checks you in and says, you are at All Souls. So that all the thieves in the world know to go and rob your house. So there you go. Similarly, if you want to find out a really popular pub, you just look on Foursquare and just see where everyone's going. Now, I've kind of broken down how important these seven aspects are. This is all taken, by the way, there's a reference at the top. I'm not this clever, there's some guys in America that are. I've just kind of broken it down in a little bit more easy to understand way. So Facebook, the biggest thing, the biggest functionality, the biggest attraction to Facebook is the relationship side of things. So you add people as friends, and then you see what they're up to and you engage with what they're doing. And it's about the relationship, okay? Whereas Twitter, it's about the conversation. So let me give you an example of this, okay? I am never going to be... Do you know who Jodie Marsh is? No? You lot aren't from Essex, that's why. Okay, I'll give you an example from my wife. My wife is never going to be Gary Barlow's friend on Facebook. Okay? She's never going to be Gary Barlow's friend, unless something amazing happens, which probably isn't. But she follows Gary Barlow on Twitter, and she follows Fern Cotton and people like that. And because Facebook is about the relationship, and they haven't got a relationship, they're never going to engage on Facebook. But Twitter, it's about the conversation. It's about a dialogue. It's about communicating with whoever. And so Gary Barlow, or Fern Cotton, I think it was, tweeted something. Kirsten replied, and Fern Cotton replied again. And my wife was all excited because Fern Cotton tweeted her. That's because it's not the relationship that's important, it's the conversation, it's what's being talked about. So this chart is just to help you get your heads around how each platform works and what is important in each platform. So don't use Twitter to maintain a relationship. It ain't going to work. Use Twitter to initiate or participate in conversations. That's why when I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or X Factor, or whatever, conversations on Twitter go nuts because it's about the conversation, not about the people having the conversation. Do you see? Similarly, YouTube, it's about sharing content, not about who you're sharing it with, or particularly what you think about it, although some of the comment streams are ridiculous. Don't get me started on online discussions about things. Oh, God's crap. Yeah, but God loves you. God's crap. Yeah, but God's going to kill you. And Foursquare, it's about the presence, where you are physically, that's important. And then there's just some four things helping you how to get your head around using social media in ministry. Have a read of them. Now, let's have a look at these things. How to use social media to further the gospel. I would say, make sure that your social, whatever you do with social media, that you do it about Jesus, for Jesus. Okay? Very simple, even I can remember it. Make sure that you do it about Jesus, for Jesus. So in terms of a ministry, in terms of personally, still do it about Jesus, but obviously it's about you, but do it for Jesus. What I mean by that is, make sure that what you're doing is about Jesus, that you're spreading the good news of Jesus, that you're not just spreading knowledge of your ministry or spreading the fame and reputation of your church or youth group. Make it about Jesus. The reason I say that is because people can see through when you're trying to big up something when actually you're really bigging up something else. Teenagers especially are very good at spotting that. And do it for Jesus, or do it like Jesus, I should say. Which is, do it in a God-honouring way. So, you might choose that your youth group isn't really going to use Facebook or Twitter. My youth group, like I said, they keep themselves to themselves online. Fine, so I haven't bothered setting up a Facebook page for my youth group, it's just not worth it. But, whenever I do engage with them online, on Facebook or whatever, I make sure that I'm doing it for Jesus and like Jesus. So I make sure that what I say is helpful and uplifting, not condemning and crushing. And I make sure I say it in an honouring way. Okay? That's how I suggest using... I could go into much more detail, but obviously time is against this. And how do we keep kids safe monitoring, and what's legal? Okay, everything online is... The closest thing it's covered by is publishing law. Okay? And this is the problem, is that there isn't really any legal... I would say it's probably being formulated at the moment, really, in kind of test cases. But there isn't really any kind of clear legal standings. So roughly go with publishing standards. So it's perfectly legal for you to friend request people. And you might choose that that's a wisdom call, that it's not a really good thing to do. I would say think about the context. So some accounts and ventures say you can't friend request people. Some youth groups say you can't friend request people. I would say for a summer camp context, fine, let them friend request you because it's their initiation. But for a youth group context, well, you've got the face, you've got the relationship face to face. You're in the context of, you know, I would hope, their parents. So sure, send them a Facebook request. I don't see a problem with that. Happy to discuss that. But be driven by the gospel, and you'll be legal. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Are there age limits?
Are there age limits? Well, they're not legally binding, I don't think. So Facebook, the age limit is 13, and I challenge people in our church who sign up for Facebook and they're under 13, because I say, look, Facebook says it's not for 13-year-olds or under, 12-year-olds or under. You're 12, what are you doing? But I don't think it's legally binding. Twitter, I think, don't know if there's an age limit. Which is why it's so important to enable parents and get parents involved. I'll give you a tip for parents in a second. Tools and traps. There are tons of tools and there are tons of traps. Hootsuite, TweetDeck are good tools to use. If you want to look at them, Hootsuite costs to make full use of it, TweetDeck doesn't. But again, you can spend loads of time setting this up and actually it's not really worth it. So it's a wisdom call. How do you use it for communication? I think that shows the difference between social media to regular media. Okay, it's about relationship and engagement, more about broadcast. YouTube is about broadcasting and kind of sharing media. But Twitter and Facebook, it's more about engaging, which is why actually it's quite useful for a gospel context. Okay, so I would encourage you, when you think about Facebook and Twitter, yes, use it to notify of what's going on, but use it to spark discussion. Use it to start conversations. Use it to disciple rather than broadcast. Does that make sense? Yeah? Don't just have a Twitter feed that says, this is what we're doing each week, this is what we're doing each week, this is what we're doing each week, because that isn't really what Twitter's about. Use it to tweet the key points of your talk and see what discussions happen. Yeah? Why is it important? I think we dealt with that one, didn't we? Why is it important? Because God is Trinity, He is relational, and this is just a way of expressing that inbuilt desire that is made because we're made in His image. Yeah? What and how are young people using? Okay, they're using Facebook, they're using BBM. Do people know what BBM is? That's BlackBerry messaging. Okay, it's what caused the London riots, or what helped fuel the London riots. So all of your young people are yobs. it's basically, have you heard of MSN Messenger? Okay, yes, because you lot are old school. Or Facebook messaging, but it's free and it's a bit like crossing Facebook messaging with Twitter. So they can message people instantly, straight away. They're using that. They're using YouTube a lot. Probably, teenagers are using YouTube to put video stuff up that they're making left, right, and centre, I'm discovering. They're using Twitter a bit. I've mentioned Facebook. They're the main ones they're using.
Tumblr's used a lot by girls.
Tumblr. Tumblr, if I've understood it rightly, you just post images.
Yeah.
Post images up there.
Instagram as well as being used.
Instagram. And again, Instagram is, you have an app on your phone.
WhatsApp is calling the other one. WhatsApp.
Tumblr. Oh, WhatsApp. WhatsApp. Yeah, Pinterest is another one. It's like, oh, stop making them. Choose one and go with it and ignore the rest. There's too many out there. That's why I just maybe stick with Facebook, Twitter, maybe Instagram, because you can post stuff that you create that sum up your talk points or what's in your youth group that week, and they can spread it around, things like that. balance between engaging and keynote. Engage with it, don't get too keen. We're slightly over. Is there anything that you particularly want me to draw out on this, the back of this sheet? There's loads for you to go away and think about.
sorry, it's not really probably on this sheet, but it might be you, or it might be that you could suggest people, but if you wanted to do stuff to help parents in churches to kind of savvy up on this stuff, have you got any places to suggest people go to?
No, I'll happily advise the best I can. If you want to email me, Facebook me, tweet, whatever. Let me just sum up the parent thing, because I did say that I'd mention it. Bang your parents round the head with a frying pan until they get the message that they are responsible for their kids. Okay? Don't let them take a back seat when it comes to online. And a parent of mine, a parent in my old youth group, did this so well. Her teenager said, I want to go on Facebook. She said, no. I want to go on Facebook. No. I want to go on Facebook. No, you're too young. Wait till 13. I want to go on Facebook. Yes, but my email address is going to be the email address, and you're going to send me everything that you do. And he went, all right. And she gets this running feed of everything that goes on online. And you can do that on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. So that would be, I think, the biggest way that you can help your parents engage is say, okay, fine, go online. You can go on Facebook, you can go on Twitter, whatever. But my email address is the email address, and I'm going to select it to send me everything. Why? And this is the key. Because I love you. God has made me your parent. I want to serve him, honour you, look after you and protect you. And this is how I'm going to do it. Get them to do that, and it will transform their relationships with their kids long term. Instantly they're going to go, I hate you! And walk off. And Facebook about them. did anyone see that video with that dad and daughter argument? I'll find it. Basically, he gets a laptop and shoots it with his gun. So that would be the best way, I think, to engage with parents and equip parents. But I'll happily chat through some of these things. One last thing, and finally. The careless hashtags cost lives. This is just a bit of fun, okay? Okay. Yeah. Careless hashtags. Has anyone seen that one? Yeah. I've capitalised it just to spare modesty. Ignore the capitals and work out what it says. I'll start with party, bum, and work backwards. It trended on Twitter because Susan Boyle publicised her album launch saying that she's having an album party. But if you look closely, it says Suze something... bum party. And it went around Twitter because people thought it was funny.
A hashtag.
On Twitter, you can collect tweets together using a hashtag. So, for example, at the moment, I think it's only me and Tim doing it. There's a hashtag GYD London, Growing Young Disciples London. And so on Twitter, you click on a hashtag and you view all tweets with that hashtag in it. It's just a way of searching and collecting. Okay?
So why is it on Facebook just because of the crossover?
Because some people like me, I have installed the app where what you put on Twitter gets posted to Facebook as well, and it doesn't get rid of the hashtag. Have you seen that one? Therapist Network, which is the rapist network. And this one, New Word Live. Also, the hashtag for a certain Californian rap group, Something With Attitude. So be careful what you use hashtags for. But do use hashtags, do use ways. Get your youth group members, get your churches being the ones who are driving stuff online. Create opportunities and structures for them to engage. So let them know what the hashtag for your youth group is. And make sure it isn't anything that's rude. Put your church on Foursquare so that people can sign in and kind of let people know that they're there. Create a Facebook page, but do so that people can join it and start talking about it and start tagging you in, start tagging people in, okay? That's how social media works. Not that you drive things, but that you facilitate things. And do so for God's glory and his fame. I'm going to pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for these guys. I pray that as they go away and think about social media, what a ridiculously large topic to go away and think about. I pray that churches would be stepping up and thinking about how they can strategically engage. I pray that they'll be doing so honoringly and in a biblical way, but in an effective way and a useful way. I pray, Lord, that you will help us wrestle through any of these issues that we've got. Help us to be safe. Help us to keep our teenagers safe. Help us to equip our parents for what, how they can keep their children safe. And above all, we pray that through social media, people might be saved and might grow in their relationship with Christ. Amen. Amen.